I want to pause and mention how delighted we are every year to host Cornerstone Ministries Ladies Retreat. And as I understand it, ladies, that was a good weekend this weekend. Is that right? Somebody say yes. I hope you were able to participate in that, and we're always delighted to host that here at First Baptist Church. We are coming up, obviously, on the Easter season, and I want to remind you that throughout the building, you will find two things for you to take, as many as you will give away. The first one is, it's the mailer we send out. It says, you're invited to Easter at First Baptist Church of Shalot. You'll find these throughout the building. Take those with you and give them to your friends, neighbors, family members, people you meet at Walmart, whomever that you would like to invite and encourage folks to. You may have someone right nearby that don't have anywhere to go at Easter, but they're just looking for someone to say, hey, join me at First Baptist Church for Easter Sunday this year. Also throughout the building are these little cards called, they say on the front, the best news, and they have our logo at the bottom. These are very simple little cards. You can take as many as you will give away, and on the back is the gospel. So you can leave them. I encourage you to leave them with a tip in restaurants or, however you, maybe you're sharing a meal in the neighborhood and include that. It just kind of speaks for itself, but it also gives you a chance to open up a conversation, a gospel conversation with people for the gospel. So take as many of those. You'll see them throughout the building. Take as many as you will give away. And as we come up on Easter, of course, I'm getting ready to go on sabbatical. It's been kind of interesting because in the last several weeks, as I've come in, there's been at least just about every Sunday, every event, every dinner I've come to, every Wednesday night, there's at least one person that goes, oh, you're still here. And they seem a little bit disappointed. Oh. So Easter Monday, April 6th to May 31st, Kim and I will be on sabbatical. Be praying for us. We prepared some things for our newsletter to help you keep up to date on that as we get ready to go. I'm excited for you. You're going to hear some great preaching in my absence. Pastor Wayne's going to be preaching the first two Sundays, the 12th and the 19th of April. I'll be gone. Then April 26th, you will have as your guest Dr. Richard Blackaby. Dr. Blackaby is the co-author of about 40 books in the Experiencing God series and the Spiritual Leadership series. So Dr. Blackaby will be with you Sunday morning, April 26th. He, by the way, will be very literally flying in to preach for you and flying out to go somewhere else. So I talked with him this week. He's very excited about that. And then Pastor Kevin will be stepping up. You'll be hearing from Pastor Kevin through the month of May, punctuated by Quintel Hill. Y'all remember Pastor Quintel was here year before last for our revival. He is now with the International Mission Board as an African-American strategist, and he's very excited about coming back to First Baptist Church. It helps, of course, that we're at the beach. He's excited about that. But he'll be with you on May 17th, and Pastor Kevin will be wrapping up as well, and I'll be back the first week in June, and when I return, we'll be opening the book of Colossians for the summer in a message series I'm calling Strengthening Your Core. We'll be talking about essentials of a biblical faith, and especially, you may not think about the book of Colossians this way, but how the Bible helps us answer bad ideologies and bad thinking in our culture. The Apostle Paul addresses that specifically in the book of Colossians. So we got a lot coming up, and I have to mention, of course, in mid to late summer, you'll be catching the rollout of Strategy 2030 of what they've been working on for so long. Vision statement, mission statement, values, all of this that Strategy 2030 has been working on is going to come later in the summer. That's a big heads up to things yet to come. And of course, now as we're rolling toward Easter, we're focusing so much on the gospel of Jesus Christ, his death and his resurrection for you. Christ died on the cross for you. God raised him from the grave. And we celebrate that at Easter. We actually celebrate it every Sunday. As you'll remember, the reason we worship on Sundays is because Christ rose from the grave on the first day of the week, which is Sunday. And Christians shifted their worship from Saturday, the last day of the week, to Sunday, the first day of the week, because Jesus Christ rose from the grave on the first day of the week. Talking about the gospel, one more thing. I want to remind you, if you've not already done so, go in the education wing of our church, and the first hallway there is our Who's Your One wall. The Who's Your One wall is a question. Who is your one? We want to encourage everyone to have at least one, maybe more people that you are praying for specifically that God will give you an opportunity to have a gospel conversation with them this year. And there are little cards there with pens. You can write their initials or their name and put that on the Hoosier One wall. And we encourage our Sunday school classes and anybody you're just walking through that hallway, lift those names up to the Lord. Pray that God will be working in their lives and that when we have opportunity to share the gospel or just have a gospel conversation. Also, invite your one to Easter Sunday. That's another way you can use that card. Reach out to your one, invite them to join you for worship at First Baptist Church on Easter Sunday. On the Hoosier One wall, the tiles are colored. I mean, you know this, but I don't know if you recall that the colors are symbolic. They represent something. You've got blues, you've got darker colors, and that's where you put the name of that person you're praying for. Then throughout the Hoosier One wall, there are white colors. There are white tiles through that as well. That's when you want to move that name to a white tile when they have made a decision or God's working in their lives. It's a moment to celebrate symbolically what they're doing. And occasionally, now and then, someone will stop me in the hallway here at First Baptist and just say, I got to move my one to the white tile today. And of course, the tile itself is not significant. It's what it symbolizes. It's what it symbolizes. In a very similar way, that's what the Lord's Supper is. It's a symbol of our salvation. Baptism and the Lord's Supper are both symbols of our salvation, both of which Jesus told us to do. He explicitly told us, do this in remembrance of me. Every time you celebrate the Lord's Supper, you're doing it in remembrance of what Christ has done for us. The whole package, the crucifixion of Christ for our sins. He shed his blood for our sins, and then God raised him from the grave on the third day for our eternal life. So when you trust Christ as your Savior, you are trusting his death on the cross to forgive you of your sins, his resurrection to give you new life, eternal life in Christ. As we prepare together to receive the Lord's Supper in just a few minutes, go with me to the New Testament book of 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, just one verse, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 in your New Testament. For a lot of you who are Christians, this will be a familiar verse. We're going to unpack it today in light of the Lord's Supper and one fundamental truth. This is what I want you to tuck away this morning. Salvation is available for everyone, but it's not automatic. Salvation is available for everyone, but it's not automatic. What Jesus did, he did for everyone to make salvation and eternal life available, but it's not automatic. Because the Bible teaches you must confess your sins, repent of your sin, and choose to trust Christ and Christ alone as your Savior. So look there with me, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. The Apostle Paul writes, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come. We live in a culture of identity crisis. We live in a culture of inclusion crisis. We live in a culture that's trying its hardest to fill the gaps, to try to understand who we are. More than ever, we're confused about human nature, what it means to be a human being. And one of the reasons for that is we've distanced ourselves so much from God's creation and how God created us to be. We live in an inclusion crisis. We don't understand what it means to be unified. And the strange thing is, the more we try to include everyone, the more divided we become. We disagree on how to do it. And the reason for that is we are still sinners by nature. And the more, what we're really doing is including people in our sinfulness and our lostness, and then we get divided even more. There, we can do some good things, yes. I mean, there are good ways we can include people. But any effort we make at unity and inclusion, at opportunity and identity, any effort we make, it pales in comparison to what Christ does for us. And what we're looking for is our identity in Christ. What we're looking for is our unity in the family of God. What we're looking for is God changing us to be like Christ. That's what we really need. We can't make it happen on our own. We can't do what only God can do for us. And that's what the Apostle Paul is teaching in this one verse. I'm going to go back to it for just a few minutes before, as we prepare for the Lord's Supper. And I want you to see with me three basic truths of what God does for everyone. Three truths that underscore the fact that salvation is available but not automatic. And here's what I mean. First of all, there is an offer for everyone. There's an offer for everyone. Paul says, if anyone is in Christ. Now, in this, he both makes an inclusion statement and an exclusion statement. Did you notice that? The inclusion statement is, it's for anyone. What I'm about to tell you is for everyone, and it's for anyone. Anyone can submit to Christ and be saved if they will take that step. The exclusion statement is in Christ. It's only in Christ and in Christ alone that you can be saved. It's only in Christ that you can be changed. It's only in Christ that you can be born again. It's only in Christ, His death on the cross, His resurrection, that you can have forgiveness and eternal life. It's in Christ. The Apostle Paul is the one that started using that phrase when he himself came to faith in Christ, and then God used him to write so many letters in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul liked to make this distinction. You're either in Christ or you're not. You're either in Christ, your identity is in Christ, you're included in Christ, you're in the family of God in Christ, or you're not. And the Bible doesn't teach there's a maybe or an in-between or being on deck. The Bible teaches you're either in Christ or you're not. But the good news is, Paul says, anyone who comes to faith in Christ can be changed and can be in Christ. It's an offer for everyone. It's available for everyone. It's not automatic, but it's available for those who will come to Christ. Secondly, he says, there's an opportunity for everyone. An opportunity for everyone. For anyone who is in Christ, they are a new creation. Now, this is an extraordinary statement. Religion doesn't do this for you. Jesus does this for you. Christ does this for you. When you change your identity as one who's outside of Christ to one who is in Christ, your identity also changes to a new creation. We're all part of creation. God created us. He created the world we live in, but this is a fallen creation. So now, those who come to Christ, you are a new creation in Christ. Jesus himself, in John chapter 3, used a different terminology for this, but it's what he meant when he said you must be born again from the inside out. See, from the outside in, nothing really changes. And you'll agree with me on that, because everybody in here has tried to change from the outside in. You've tried to work harder, look different, make more money, whatever it is. Change your status and culture and society, but you're still the same. Right? You're still the same. What we need is change from the inside out, and Christ alone can do that. The offer is for everyone, and the opportunity to change is for everyone who comes to Christ. God doesn't exclude those who are in Christ. Any who are in Christ are changed from the inside out. I look around this room, and I would imagine, in fact, I know for a fact for some of you, because I've heard your story of coming to faith in Christ, and I would think there are many more like it. What your life was like before you came to Christ, and what it's like now. What you were like personally before you came to Christ, and what it's like now. Some of the most common elements are people that are angry. Does this resonate with anybody? Before you came to Christ, you're just an angry person. You're angry at everybody. Made everybody angry at you. And then when you came to Christ, you're a new creation. And now the Holy Spirit is working in you patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Does that mean you never get angry? You just don't live as an angry person, because you're a new creation in Christ. Lonely, sad, hopeless, impatient, unkind, confused, uncertain. What identifies you? But if you're in Christ, what identifies you is you're a new creation in Christ. That's your identity. You're a new creation in Christ. Then third, Paul says, there's an outcome for everyone. Everyone who is in Christ participates in the same outcome. You ready? The old is gone. The new has come. The old is gone. The new has come. He loves this so much, he gets excited about it. The phrase, behold, see, is something like, look at that. Look at that. I wonder if he was thinking about himself. He just didn't want to say, look at me. The old me, that old sinner self is gone. Behold, look, there's a new creation in Christ where that old person used to be. Christian, every single Christian in this room, every single Christian in this room, your life is defined by the day the old became the old and you became the new. You might have been 8, you might have been 88, you might have been somewhere in between. But if you follow Christ, if you trust Jesus for salvation, you submitted to Him, that day your life became defined by that moment. The old is gone, the new has come, I'm a new creation in Christ. The other symbol we celebrate with baptism, depicts that very fact. It depicts it this way. That's why Jesus told us to be baptized by immersion. That was His command. Every believer in Christ baptized the same way. You go under the water. Good news. The old is gone. It's as though you're being buried and your old life died. And you rise up out of the water in newness of life. There goes that new creation. Wouldn't it be great to shout that every time a person comes out of the baptism water? There goes a new creation. You can do that if you want to, a little bit disturbing, but that's okay. But it's exciting, isn't it? Christian, think about it. You've got your at the cross story. That was that defining moment. The old is gone. The new has come. That's our identity. Our identity is being in Christ. Being in Christ. And the family of God means everybody's saved the same way. The cross, the resurrection. The old is gone. The new has come. Doesn't matter who you were before. Doesn't matter how you got here. Everybody in here saved the same way. If you're saved in Christ, you're saved the same way. It's popular in some of our more progressive circles in Christianity these days to use a text from Galatians chapter 3 and to say that in this text, the Apostle Paul means that we are non-binary and that God is non-binary, that there's no such thing as men and women. It's Galatians chapter 3, starts at verse 27. But the Apostle Paul says, for those of you who were baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. Verse 28, there is no Jew or Greek, slave or free, male and female, since you are all one in Christ Jesus. Those who make that claim comfortably leave out that last phrase, because you are one in Christ Jesus. When the Apostle Paul wrote that, his point was this. The world defines you by classifications, and in their day and time, a male and female was a distinct classification in culture. The world defines you by that classification, but when you get saved, you're all saved the same way. Masters and slaves, listen, the world defines you as master and slave. If you're in Christ, you are defined by your salvation in Christ. Masters and slaves, all saved the same way. And when you come together, you're in unity in the body of Christ. Greeks and Jews, the world defines you as different and separate. Well, you're all saved the same way, which was a radical thought for the first century, even in Christianity. Everybody's saved the same way. Even Jews are saved in Christ. And when they get saved, they're all saved the same way. So when Jews and Greeks and Gentiles come together and worship Jesus, they are all one in Christ. Male and female, all saved the same way. That's Paul's point. Because now they are all one in Christ. And when they come together and worship Jesus, they are all unified in the body of Christ. All saved the same way. In 2001, law enforcement personnel raided a drug lord's lair. drug dealer's lair and found all kinds of paraphernalia and a few things they didn't expect. For example, this particular drug lord had as pets an American black bear, an African lion, and a Bengal tiger. So obviously law enforcement called in folks who could handle apex predators, and especially these three. They'd been abused, they weren't taken care of well, they were hungry, they were emaciated. So they were shipped off to Georgia to what's called the Noah's Ark Animal Sanctuary. The bear was named Baloo. The Bengal tiger was named Shere Khan. And the lion was named Leo. Now they did what was natural at the Noah's Ark Animal Sanctuary with apex predators. They don't usually play well with others. So they separated them into different areas. And all night long, those big cats and that bear would howl and they would whine and they would yell and they'd complain during the daytime. They were grumpy. They would pace and they'd be nervous. They'd be anxious. And this went on and on and they weren't settling down. And someone had the idea. I said, now, wait a minute. When we found them, they were together and they're adults now. Why don't we just put them back together and see what happens? As soon as the three were put back together, they calmed down. See, as it turns out, as different as they are in nature, they needed to be together under the roof of Noah's Ark. Don't you like that? It was there that they calmed down. It was there that they got healthy. It was there that they lived out their lives together. Because as different as they were, as different as the culture, as different as everybody else says they should be, and they should be kept separate, once they got to Noah's Ark, they came together and lived their best lives till it was over. Only in Christ, in Christ alone, are we made one. And when you are one in Christ with one another, you share this moment. You're at the cross moment, when you can say, I know that I was saved. I know that I was saved in Christ. Not because I'm so good, but because Christ saved me. And he died on the cross for me. When we celebrate the Lord's Supper together, we are celebrating that unity in Christ. We're celebrating this one thing that no one can deny. We're being reminded of this one thing, that you and I are here not because of who we are, but because of who he is and what he has done. And because of what he's done, now we are new creations in Christ. It's a good reminder this morning, if you, maybe you look across the aisle this morning and there's someone, maybe you're having a little tiff with them. Maybe you're not feeling the best about everything today. We're people sometimes, and sometimes that old sinner self tries to get out of the baptism water, doesn't he? Now and then we forget that our unity is in Christ. So Jesus said, here's your reminder. Everybody's saved the same way. There's not a single person in this room that could save themselves. They needed Jesus, the cross, and the resurrection to be cleansed of sin and to be a new creation in Christ. We celebrate the good news of the gospel. In just a moment, the deacons are going to come and they're going to help me with serving you the elements of the Lord's Supper. Let me remind you of a couple of things. The first one is, this is distinctively a Christian activity. That is to say, when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we are celebrating that we know we have that at the cross moment. We have trusted Christ as our Savior. So if you're in this room this morning and you're not sure that you've ever trusted Christ, or you know for a fact that you haven't, I want to ask you to have the courage to just let the bread go by and let the cup go by. Because you're being honest and you're not being dishonest with God. He already knows your heart. You're being honest with him and saying, you know what, I know that I've never done this. I'm not saved. Or I'm not sure. Now the good news is at the end of the hour, I'm going to give you an opportunity to trust Christ as your Savior. But in the meantime, just have the courage to be honest about that. The other thing I would mention is, if you know you are saved, participate with us. You don't have to be a member at the First Baptist Church of Shiloh to participate with us in the Lord's Supper. You do need to know that you're saved, that you're a Christian, but maybe you just came in the first time this morning, but you know you're saved, I want to invite you to participate with us in this celebration. The third thing I would say is, as the deacons are bringing the bread and the cup around, the music's playing quietly, pray, ask God to search out your heart. If he shows you anything in your heart, anything in your life you need to confess and ask forgiveness for, do that before you take the bread and the cup. Be clean before God, even as you do this today. Heavenly Father, we pause in this moment praising you and thanking you, God, for the salvation we have in Christ. That every person in this room who knows they are saved is because they're saved in Christ. They're a new creation in Christ, and you offer that. You make that available for everyone. I pray for that one in here who may not have done that, may not trusted Christ, not sure if they have. I pray before the hour is up that they will. In the meantime, Father, as we celebrate what Jesus commanded us to celebrate, as we take these elements to celebrate his crucifixion for us, his resurrection that followed, God, I pray you'd speak to our hearts. If there's anything that we need to confess, anything you want to change, show us that this morning, God, that before the hour's up, we'd be clean, revived, reconciled, ready to serve you. And it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.